And she had informed me within that email that she had also removed me from the class that I had signed up for and told me to never sign up for one of her classes again.
That's insane.
It absolutely blew my mind.
Love Gangster with Adrian Boysell.
Welcome back to The Love Gangster. I'm Adrian Boysell, and I have the most special guest I've had on this show yet to date. As you know, we've only done 3 episodes. This is our 3rd one, and my favorite guest, my favorite person of all time, has joined me on today's episode, which is my lovely and beautiful best friend and wife, Whitney Mello.
Thanks, babe.
Yeah.
It's good to be here.
Me too. Good to have you here. You look great.
Thanks. I was nervous about that.
If you can't tell yet, I'm trying to get her to blush. Is it working?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Good. Well, we're going to get into an interesting conversation. What's different about this conversation from most is I actually did not tell her at all what we're going to be talking about. Most of the other people I did, because she is so intelligent. I wanted this to be right from the heart, not from her head. And I wanted her to be able to give you guys her message without having it scripted or thought out. So she has no idea what we're going to talk about today. But it's going to be a lot of fun because I know where we're going. I know the direction I'm hoping this is going to go. And what I did with Jordan and what he did with Corey was hearing about their past, hearing about their present, and hearing about their future. Although I think that's a decent way to go for these past episodes for you and I wanted to do something a little bit more different, a little more special. My point for this episode was to hear about your approach to love and your approach to loving on people and from the acts of service perspective, because that's really what you've helped me get better about in my life and my relationships and in business. Like, I have been able to serve people at a higher level because of you and because of your leadership as someone that is an acts of service person that's constantly helping and serving people.
Okay.
So you ready for that?
I am.
Cool. So, a little bit of a backstory for her and I. We've been together since 2017, married in 2018, but we've known each other since we were kids, 16 years old, and I met her at her house party, of all things. And some of you guys that heard the story on the radio show that I proposed to her on may have heard a little bit about that, but we've known each other since we were kids, and we were friends at first, and then we had a little stint at 18 where we were seeing each other, and then I wasn't ready for a relationship like a dummy, and she was, and she wanted something, and I wasn't ready. And then over a decade goes by, and I saw her half a dozen times at restaurants and different places around town, even church, and finally pulled my you-know-what out of my you-know-what, my head out of my you-know-what, and ended up realizing, like, oh my gosh, this is my person. This is the one that God's been trying to show me all along. I've just been trying to do things my way instead of doing things his way. And so we have had an amazing but also challenging and beautiful relationship that has created a situation where we both had to grow in profound ways. And so I want to talk about that part because I feel like that's where people are going to get the breakthrough. I almost wanted to say, like, it's going to be kind of shower talk.
Yeah.
Inspired.
Right.
That was kind of the goal of this, which you probably already knew because she knows me so well. I'm pretty predictable at this point, but I wanted to kind of have that vulnerable shower talk conversation of some of the things that we've gone through in our relationship, where together, right, friction points that we had together, but also as individuals and what it forced us to overcome. Mm-hmm. So what would you say over the course of the last 6 years married almost in next month and 7 years together, what would you say has been the biggest shift and change for you?
Ooh. That's good. I would say that the biggest shift and change for me was the inner healing I needed to do. Oh gosh, you put me on camera so I could come here and cry in front of all these people?
No.
Okay. I needed to heal so that I could receive your love and your provision and your leadership. And I needed to believe that I was worthy of that.
It's beautiful.
And that took a long time.
Yeah, it's been a journey, a beautiful journey. I think my big thing, and we've talked about this a lot, was healing. Same thing, was healing, but in my healing was healing the mother wounds, healing the father wounds, and being able to feel respected by a woman, like truly respected and loved unconditionally. When somebody says they love you and not just like abandoning you, right? Those childhood abandonment type of challenges that I had. And you were the first person in my whole life, first female, including even my grandmother. Like my grandmother, as you know, was the mom to me. You know, she was there my whole upbringing. But even at the end, she even abandoned me. And I have abandonment issues that I don't even know if I've 100% fully processed yet around my grandma, of her taking off and deciding to go live with my dad, who's been terrible to her entire life. And so I've been nothing but sweet and loving and caring and supported her through every major season of her life. And so I had to heal those things. And you helped me heal those through that process. And what's interesting about it is the person that I was able to become in that process, the strength that I realized that I had and the leadership abilities that I didn't realize I had happened because of you. So you've made me a stronger leader, a stronger husband, a stronger partner, a stronger dad. Like I've sharpened my who I am as a person in every single way because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, we've talked about this, and I talk about this with my friends too, because, you know, we're in our 30s, and, you know, a lot of people in our age group and people that we're close to, like, they're also like in their 30s, and, you know, we all white knuckled our way through our 20s thinking that, you know, things like life would start in our 30s. And I think that in a lot of ways that, you know, it has, although I miss my 20s, I will not lie. The energy from my 20s was amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and so there's been a lot of shifts coming into my 30s. But, you know, one thing that, you know, a lot of people in our age group right now have in common is that we're all going through the throes of like some serious and like rapid inner growth. And a lot of that is taking place within the container of marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, like society, and maybe this is a global thing, I don't know, because like culturally it shifts like from culture to culture, from, you know, just family to family system too. It's like where we come from. But like ultimately, I think many of us were sold, we were sold a dream. Mm-hmm. And within that, there have been a lot of veils, manipulations, and even lies. And what marriage really is, at least this is where I've, like what I've come to in this season of my life, is what I've learned that the greatest value to me personally of marriage is that marriage is a fire that purifies you. Yes. And I don't think that I really understood that when I made my vows with you.
Wow.
I did not understand that because, and we'll just kind of like reel it back a little bit. At the time that Adrian and I came together and started dating, and we were like quickly engaged afterwards,
4 months.
Yeah. Well, not having sex until you're married will, you know, do that to you.
Speed that process up.
Speed that process up. There's all kinds of tensions that are happening. And time is just flying at that point. So he actually proposed to me after just 4 months of us dating. And, but at that time, you know, we were deeply involved in the evangelical church. And we were being sold a story, right? And ultimately, I don't want to place blame on anybody, because for a long time, I was really angry with everyone else about what they, you know, what they said, what they sold me, what they... The dangers of advice, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, at this point in my life, I can look back and say that I had the choice. It was my choice. I chose to make agreement with what they were selling me. And I didn't do the inner work of really feeling into where God was leading me in some really, really intimate and deep ways within, like, you know, the little crevices of my heart.
Yeah.
And what they sold us was, you know, is commonly referred to as prosperity gospel. And if you're not familiar with what prosperity gospel within the Christian evangelical church system is that it's essentially like you, it's a performance mindset, right? If you do this, you will be blessed. You know, and so we believed that because we were both chasing after God and we wanted godly things and we wanted, you know, the goodness of God's riches and promises in our life, that we would be blessed if we just did it His way.
That's right.
And, you know, ultimately that is like, it's a real signal to a lot of spiritual bypassing is what that is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I was an adult. I was a grown woman. You know, I was 30 years old and I made agreement with these things and it was naive. And in ways it was also ignorant because it's not as though I was like a child at that point. Like I had walked through a lot of years of therapy and counseling and support and, you know, 12-step program, you know, even within the church system and everything. It's not that I wasn't educated. It's not that I wasn't aware. It's that I wasn't in touch. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I didn't realize that walking into marriage at this point in this, you know, time of my life, because this is my second marriage, I didn't really know what I was making agreement with.
Yeah.
And I held on to a lot of resentment about what the unfolding of that looked like when it turned out that real life was, you know, happening to us.
That's right.
And I didn't understand why.
Yeah.
Because I thought I had done all the right things, right?
Yeah.
But God had to churn us both through that refiner's fire and purify us through one another within our challenges in the container and safety of marriage.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people in our age group, like, they are in the thick of it. They're in the trenches.
They are.
Because they too believed, you know, they were sold a story and they believed it, and now here they are in real life. Is happening, and they don't know what to do with that, you know, because it's just like a constant projection.
That's the projection, and
right.
We've talked a lot about that lately. Of like, my insatiable curiosity, right? Come to find out, she's insatiably curious, and she was annoyed by my insatiable curiosity, and I'm even annoyed by insatiable curiosity. And so that's just one characteristic of our personalities that we both happen to have that we. We are just curious people. And so it's funny that it took me 6 years to realize that she has the same thing. And so many different things that bother us about each other, because we all have those things in any relationship. Someone's chewing on ice and somebody else is chewing on chips, right? They're all one and the same thing, right? And so it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, whatever that pet peeve is, like being able to have not just grace and love for that person, but be able to realize it's something within yourself. And to stop doing this and to start pointing it back at you.
Yeah.
Like, I think we knew that, like, fundamentally, like, going into it. But I didn't think we realized how much work that was going to mean for us individually of what we were going to have to do in order to heal and fix those things. So, like, stop hurting you and you stop hurting me. And, like, I was bad with some of my actions and you were bad with some of your words, right? Like, we both had our areas where we were hurting each other. And it was like, one of the biggest shifts when we went to counseling, was his name Steve? Or is it counselor?
Oh, our counselor?
Yeah.
No, Dave.
Dave, there it is. When we sat down with Dave and he was like, when she's mad or upset or angry or irritated, regardless whether it's about you or not, you automatically are going to feel defensive. Your walls are going to go up because that's what your childhood was like. He's like, I want you to try this. I want you to just, instead when she's mad and you feel like she's being prickly, right, with her words, I want you to just lean over and say, I don't want to hurt you and how can I be here for you? It was like, the action of that was one thing, but then to actually understand what that, like to embody that and to be like, oh, I get it now. And to actually understand that piece of it is like, regardless whether it's about me or not, being able to still lean into that person and be like, how can I be here for you? And I don't want to hurt you, right? And some of the times there has been me hurting you unintentionally. And you're never intentionally trying to hurt your partner, right? Mm-hmm. That's not the circumstances that are happening here. So being able to step back from it, let your walls come back down, because that's the natural instinct for guys to protect themselves, right? We're meant to protect things. And so to let those walls come back down and to lean in, regardless if she goes, don't touch me, right? If she's in a bad space, right? And that was one of my fears, is like, again, the rejection, is fear of rejection, which is another childhood one. So we had to unpack a lot of these things. And so our journey has been very fruitful. And there were a lot of people, very close friends, and that didn't think we were going to make it. And here we are today, 7 years later. And we had this conversation probably about 3 months ago, I think, roughly, where I was like, I finally, maybe it was like 6 months ago, I was like, I feel like, yes, God is supposed to be the foundation of our relationship, and it's the thing that's brought us both back together, which I believe with my heart of hearts that God is love, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why it's Love Gangster. I believe as a love gangster, as a person that has just an incredible amount of love to pour onto my wife, my child, my team, my partners, like everything in life, I have to be able to not just speak love into people's lives, but also walk it out. And that was the hardest part, was there was areas of my life where I didn't have experience or knowledge because of the lack of parenting on my dad's side and my mother's side to actually walk it out in a marriage. And so there were people that said that we weren't going to make it, but our foundation, what we talked about was, yes, it is God. That's like the first layer of it. But the biggest foundational piece that I feel like this kept us together this whole time was our friendship.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of people that are struggling right now in relationships, and if that's you, you're struggling in your marriage, you're struggling in your engagement or your partnership or with your girlfriend or whatever that is, the encouragement that I would have for you is just go back to the basics of just being friends. And if you can't be friends and you can't have that part of your relationship, then you don't really have a whole lot to stand on. And so that's what you need to go back and do the work in, is like, how do you just be friends again? Because every time that we would disconnect from the world, we're like, let's go on a trip somewhere. We'd spend time together and we'd hang out. We're like, holy crap. This is just like when we first started dating and we went to the reggae show together. Like we spent 18 hours or whatever, 12 hours or whatever the day was like together. And was just, we're like inseparable. It was just so easy. It just flowed. It was so natural. We laughing and joking. And like when the kids aren't there and the life isn't there and the bills aren't there and all the pains and struggles and, you know, tortures of life, all of a sudden you realize like, oh, there's a real friendship here. I feel like that is a solid foundation that I want people in relationships to build on, which kind of parlays me into the next piece with the amount of time that we have, is I wanted to talk about friendships, but also the love side of building relationships within the community, because you've been so good about that. And I want people to hear that from you and know that about you, is you've been so good with even your competition. And this is why I was saving this conversation for a long time, is you have a different perspective about competition than most business owners and most people in general have.
Yeah.
So I want you to share a little bit about that. Like, tell the story about you don't have to use her actual name, but about the competitor that you have where you signed up for her class.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we can talk about it.
Because what's the root? We'll get to that. You're going to get to that.
Right. But. So, like, just, you know, my theology, my philosophy, like whatever you want to call it, on loving people well in and through the work that you do, is that if you're really doing it like from that heart space, and if you're really on a mission, then there's room for everybody. There's room for everybody at the top and at every level. And so I think that competition, I'll be transparent. I didn't grow up playing any sports. I loved dancing and I loved comedy and I loved, you know, just that kind of thing. But like, so I don't really have a mentality that has been trained in and disciplined in, you know, competitive nature. So by nature, it's just not something, that's ever really been in me. Or been drilled into me either. Because, like, you know, my family, they didn't make me play sports. They didn't force me into anything. And so, especially working within the holistic health space, which is what I'm in, there has to be room for everybody. You have to make room for everybody at the table because we each have gifts. We each have our own magic and our own medicine to share with others. And so for me, being a part of my community and impacting my community and loving people really, really well means locking arms with other people that are on the same mission as me. And you think that everybody's on the same mission as you when you're coming from like that really like pure heart space and with like in total alignment with integrity, which is like really important for me. That's like my highest value in life is integrity, you know? So years ago when, I think maybe like 4 years ago when I had first started, within my first year of business, with Crunchy Cottage, that's the name of my business, I had reached out to another elderberry maker here locally in the area. I was a part of an elderberry trade association with a bunch of other very high-level elderberry entrepreneurs across the United States. I paid yearly to be a part of this group, and there were a lot of trainers, coaches, and mentors within that group system that also had their own elderberry businesses. So we were all locking arms, but these people were all, you know, international in other states and everything. And they encouraged me to reach out to my local elderberry makers that I knew of within the community as well and lock arms with them and start to build relationships with them because it was important that we love one another and not create competition but create opportunity for each of us to like shine in our strengths and really just continue to up-level the health and wellness and well-being of our community. And so I did reach out to an elderberry maker in town and I had sent her an email and I didn't hear back.
Because you had a deal where you could buy a bunch of product at a lower price?
Yeah, so as a part of the Elderberry Trade Association, we were bringing in anywhere from like, you know, 15 to 20,000 pounds of elderberries at a time together as a part of the association. So we would bulk buy these organic elderberries from Bulgaria, which they're natively grown, right? So you got like hundreds of years of this really rich, dense soil that has been like, you know, propagating and building and cultivating this beautiful, rich history of elderberries, right? So I'm the only elderberry maker at this time in Northern California that was a part of this trade association. And so I was like, oh, I'll take 500 pounds myself for the year, right? And they were like, well, why don't you reach out to the other elderberry makers in the area and see if maybe they would like to join you in bulk buying so we can get some more sent out to your area. And I was like really nervous about that. But I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And they really encouraged me on this because I was like, I don't know. I don't know the other elderberry makers in my area personally. I've only just seen what they're doing. And I love what they're doing, by the way. So I did reach out to the other elderberry maker in town, and she's about 15 minutes from me. I sent her an email, I didn't hear back, and then a few weeks later, I called and left a voicemail, and I said, hey, this is Whitney, you know, nice to meet you. I had sent you an email, I was just following up on that, I'm sure you're super busy, you know, just wanted to connect with you. I love what you're doing in the community. I'm like so excited to see that other women are out here empowering our community to live better and just wanted to connect with you. And I had signed up for one of her classes because she hosts all of these cooking classes on her property in the area. And I, you know, I told her I'm really excited about the class that I signed up for too. It was a fermentation class and we were gonna be like fermenting pickles and all kinds of stuff. So she did email me back finally after that second attempt. And she had told me that, you know, she thought that it was, you know, really kind of me to reach out to her. And however, I am her competition and she has no interest in getting to know me or having any affiliation with me at all. And she had informed me within that email that she had also removed me from the class that I had signed up for and sent me a refund for that class and told me to never sign up for one of her classes again. And that was that.
That's insane.
And it blew my mind. It absolutely blew my mind. And I was more shocked than I was hurt, but I was hurt, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be hurt too. Because, I mean, the premise, if you're somebody like Whitney or I, where we are social impact entrepreneurs. We don't just have a business just to make money. That's not what drives us. Like, we're gonna make money either way. We're both intelligent, we both have a lot of skills, but that's not what drives us. What money is a byproduct of helping people, yeah. Right? So if your goal and your mission as a business owner is to help as many people as possible, there shouldn't be competition. And this is something you really helped me with because I grew up the opposite way. It was everything was a competition. The coolest phone, the coolest car, the coolest sports, the best in this and the best in that, and best in BMX. Like all of it was about a competition. And so you helped me see that even though I was still social impact and about giving and helping people, there was that level of competition still with me. Like, hey, I need to beat my buddy Brandon's YouTube channel subscribers, and now I need to beat this guy's channel. I always had some sort of goal that pushed me to that next step, which has been helpful. Competition is helpful, but it can also be toxic. And that is one example of a very toxic viewpoint with competition is like, if your guys' goal is to help families and to help people stay well, and you guys are doing things alternatively than the Western medicine methods, then how could collaborating hurt anybody in any way? There's plenty of business around.
Right, plenty of business. Absolutely. And there really is room for everybody. I mean, we live in a highly populated area.
That's right.
How many hundreds of thousands of people do we have in Roseville now alone?
Oh, I mean, it's unbelievable. Well over a quarter million.
Yeah.
I mean, what bothers me about that and why I think you would probably heard about it too is because deep down, you guys are in this alternative, and I don't even want to call it alternative. You've said this too. You are in the true plant-based wellness industry, right?
Yeah.
Her real competition is the Western medicine doctors, all the things that we know, big pharma, all
corrupt
of those
organizations.
That's the competition.
That's supposed to be our competition and not each other.
That's right.
Especially not within this space. And so I think that it was like, it was jarring and shocking, but it really helped me to see at that point, like things from, you know, I had to learn how not to judge and how to love people even in their own weaknesses, right? Mm. Because that was an opportunity, that was a mirror being shined at me, you know, of like, how am I creating division and separation and competition even within my own self in the way that I view others, right?
Wow.
Yeah, because there is that temptation, you know, of the ego to look at people who have not fully like made agreement and aligned their lives with the way that God designed us to function, right? More holistically, and to lean on all of these beautiful gifts that he's given us in the earth, and to turn away from, you know, the corruption and lies that would have us be dependent on a sick care system.
That's right.
Right? So like, you know, there's that temptation of the ego too, to also like feel like, you know, a level of competition that like I've arrived and this person hasn't.
Yep.
Why are they still doing these things when it's like perpetually hurting them? Ignorant. Yeah. Yep. Like how ignorant do you have to be? And so it was like really highlighting for me an opportunity to like really look inward within my own heart even, and continue to learn how to like walk out. And like, I'm not mad that she did that. The only, I would say like disappointment that I carry about that moment that happened 4 years ago to this day is that she's still doing all of these kick butt classes in the community that I wanna be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And that bums my chums, you know, like they're doing sourdough classes, fermentation classes, they're teaching on, you know, medicinal mushrooms, they're doing all kinds of amazing stuff, you know, and I just want to be a part of that because for my own nourishment and my own enrichment, like I'm not going to become a sourdough maker, I'm not going to become, you know, a nutritionist, and I mean, I don't know, who knows what the future has, but like that's not like where my career path at this point is really leading me.
Mm-hmm.
But those are skill sets that I want for my own life, too. And so there is like a level of still some sadness and disappointment because I see her stuff being posted everywhere and people posting about her stuff and the amazing classes that they're attending. And I feel kind of like, meh, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting when you say that, too. And I think of all those classes, because if you were to learn those skills, right, the sourdough making, the fermentation, all those things, what's naturally going to happen as another business owner and as somebody who's very good at persuading people and marketing to people and educating people is really what it is.
I'm going to send everybody to her.
You're going to send everybody to her.
And make her a ton of money.
Yep. So she would make more money for that. But then also, you're going to be able to share knowledge as well.
Right.
Which is going to help more people. And it's going to help your audience. So she's basically isolating and siloing herself and limiting the amount of people that she can impact because she put up the wall. She put up the barrier there.
I know. And that, and like I said, that like it bumps my chums because I see what creating a fluid exchange of gratitude for the space that we're in, mm-hmm. that we get to teach from, could do to elevate and like propel us both forward, mm-hmm. right? And that's why I reached out to her to begin with. Like, yeah. hey, let's build a relationship. Are you interested in joining me in this bulk buy? And like, I want to be a part of your classes and I'm excited to share about what I'm learning from you with others and point more people back to you. I'm not afraid of losing sales to you by pointing people in your direction because right. there's room for everybody. And that is what I'm committed to and doing to love others well is by keeping my heart open and like keeping judgment, you know, as clear and free as possible. And then taking every, you know, micro judgment or resentment that comes and like really examining where that comes from. Cause that just only helps to, you know, expand me and fill my cup and help me grow and heal further. And the more that I heal and my cup overfloweth, whatever other people do too, right? That's and that's my mission.
That's right.
You know, it's not to teach other people how to do what I'm not willing to do myself. It's to become and the true embodiment of what it is that I am sharing and pointing other people towards.
Well, what's interesting that all of that comes full circle for me is really what she was displaying was what we've talked about, this the lack mentality, right? Of not thinking that there's enough to go around, which you've clearly demonstrated, and we can all agree that there's definitely plenty to go around for everybody, right? Let's take market share from Big Pharma, right? Let's not take market share. We're not taking market share from each other. We're supposed to be doing life together in community. Yeah. Like, this is not a competition. And I think that lack mentality is also a fear-based mindset.
I was just thinking that as you ramped up to that point, is that, like, you know, even just saying words like lack mentality, like we have to use words because we're humans and we need a way to be able to express what, you know, concepts and ideals and emotions, right? All of these things. But even just like saying that sometimes, not just when you say it, but even like I say it sometimes, things like lack mentality feels like a judgment.
It does.
Let's break down the judgment a little bit further from there. What's underneath that? There is fear.
Yep.
You know, where did that fear come from? Wherever that came from, I want to be the kind of person that has compassion for that. Also, like, thank you. You know, you said a lot about how you've grown as a person because of me being in your life, but like, thank you. I would not, absolutely not be who I am today if you had not been the perfect mirror and imperfectly perfect companion to walk with me these last 7 years and show me all of the areas of my heart that were so broken and hurting still.
Wounded. I like that.
So
I heard
wounded.
That word. Yeah, I heard that word recently in some sort of description or podcast or something, and it was like the woundedness. And I think there's a real reality is, like, I told this to Jordan yesterday. 99, if not even maybe more of the population is walking around as adults, right?
Yeah.
All the adults are walking around as adults, but they're so wounded that they still act like children.
Yeah.
They're really actually children pretending to be adults rather than adults getting to have that joyful, like, you lose all the good parts of being a kid and you adopt all the bad parts of being a child.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not supposed to be like that. And so when you start to heal those wounds, you healed my wounds, I healed your wounds, we individually healed our own wounds, right? We had other people go out and seek, like, look at the woundings, look at the soft spots, look at the areas of your life. Faith has been a wound of ours. Jim has been a wound of yours, right? Jim has been a wound of mine, like fatherhood, motherhood, like all these different areas we've had all these. So you got to look and go deeply introspectively, which is what I love and why I feel like not only did God give me my best friend, but he gave me the person, like the iron sharpens iron. A lot of people use that phrase in business. But it's in your marriage too. And if you're not thinking about it like that, of like, this is an opportunity to sharpen each other, like so many wounds that have been completely healed, like completely gone because of the relationship that I have with you and how far we've been able to, even though it's been messy, how far we've been able
so messy,
but we've been able to overcome. And now look where we are today. And so to wrap up the whole thing, because we talked about life and business, which is what my ultimate goal was, to get a little bit into that. I want to talk about and hear from you now so that we can look back on this in a year, 2 years, 10 years, 5 years from now. What do you see as a person of love, as a love gangster, because I'm going to say every person that gets onto this show is a love gangster.
Yeah.
And I want to call the people that are watching this show to go out and be a love gangster. This isn't just about me being a love gangster and the mafia boss thing and all that. This is about encouraging other people to go out and love and kill them with kindness, right? Mm-hmm. That's the catchphrase for this whole thing, is to kill them with kindness. Your competition, whoever that is, your ex-wife, your enemies, like go kill them with kindness. So for you, what does the future, what do you see for your future as a love gangster? What is it that you want in a year, 2 years from now?
That's a great question. I think ultimately, like, the space that I've been in for the last 5 years has been really fulfilling for me, teaching people about natural health and wellness and, like, providing tools and solutions. What I'm finding at this point in my life is to become the ultimate love gangster, like really releasing myself from the masculine energy of performance and sinking deeper down into my feminine is what is going to reveal to me what the next path is. Because, like, even in what I'm doing right now with Crunchy Cottage, like, I am still working, and I'm working hard, and I'm grinding, and I'm being grown and stretched and pulled in ways that I never thought I would, and it's all so valuable. It's all so valuable. But what I haven't had up to this point in my life that I recently, like, got major clarity about is an opportunity to sink down into my feminine and see what that feels like and see what that looks like and how much more that could even, like, fill my heart and my cup and overflow from. So, like, I have ideas in my head about what it is that I want to do with my future a year, 2 years, 3 years from now. But in my heart of hearts, what I know that I really want to do is I want to, like, fully flourish in and sink into my feminine and see where God takes me in that first.
So this is great. I'm now challenged in that, is like, I'm leaning more into my masculine, and we've kind of discovered, and God has put people around us that have a lot of experience in this and masculine and feminine. But for people that are completely in the dark, that don't know anything about the masculine or the feminine, and they don't realize, women that are single moms that are having to be dad and mom, right? And dads that are having to be mom and dad, right?
Yeah.
Like, those are realities that people are facing, but they don't even realize that they're operating, right? We know people that don't even realize they're operating in the masculine as a female.
I didn't realize it myself. I mean, I was, you know, at the point that Adrian came back into my life, I had been a single mom for 7 years. And I was raised by primarily a single mom as well. I don't want to discredit the fact that I have, like, this beautiful stepfather in my life that raised me too, but there were some years in between while they were struggling in their marriage, and years leading up to them even coming into each other's life. Like, my mom was a single mom with me until I was 7. And then there was a lot of years of, you know, challenge and turmoil even between them two. And so it was like my mom carrying a lot. And then I came into single motherhood after my first marriage, where I, you know, was living in a marriage of, you know, where there was domestic violence involved. There was a lot to heal through, right? But there wasn't actually really time for that. Because when I left my first husband, I left with the clothes that I had on my back and what I could fit in a suitcase, my 11-month-old son in my arms, and we got on a plane and we flew right out of hell. It was a one-way flight. It was really hard. I had to start over with nothing.
Yeah.
And that, I lived my life, and that fear of failure fueled me for a lot of years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't want to discredit, right, because we talked about fear being a wound.
That's right.
But that wound is what fueled me to discover my greatness.
That's right.
Right? I needed that at that time in my life. But I was, like, completely operating in my masculine, and I have been for the majority of our marriage too. And that was hurting me,
mm-hmm.
and I had no idea, you know. And, like, I'll just give, like, an example. For instance, I always said that I never wanted to be a stay-at-home mom.
Oh, I don't know how many times I've heard that.
He's heard it. Everybody's heard it. right? Because I was operating from that wounded place of not even knowing what that kind of life would look or feel like, because I had never been given the chance, not in my upbringing, to see what that looks like, nor in my many years as an adult up to that point either, or up to this point, I'll say, because really it's only been in the last year that I've, like, because of the inner work and, like, inner healing I've been doing and leaning into my feminine, that I'm discovering that actually, like, this is a new dream. Maybe this was always a dream, but I never gave it the love and the time and the care that it deserved to be heard and felt, you know, because I was so afraid for my life that failing would be my demise.
That's right.
You know, and my family's demise and my children's demise, you know, and so... Yeah, I don't know what the next few years, like, tangibly looks like as far as, like, my career path or, you know, I have ideas, we have goals, we're talking about ways to, like, eject me from the matrix of Crunchy Cottage, which is amazing but also really taxing, right?
Yeah.
And, like, how to grow Crunchy Cottage without having to pull me along with it, right? Own a business, not run a business.
That's right.
Right? And, like, let it just take off without me.
That's right.
But, like, you know, with me in the background, just being like, woo, you know, like,
right.
get, you know, get what you need.
Well, doing the playful, fun things, like, I, you know, coming up with new products and, you know, speaking about it and teaching people about it and creating your own podcast and things like this. Like, those are the fun things that you can do from that feminine space while still really bringing a lot of change and a lot of
creation
impact.
Creation is a very feminine, in touch, like, energy. And that's what I love the most about what I do is every time I'm, like, right now I'm making a new product. It's, we're getting ready to launch it, like, next week.
Yeah.
It's a magnesium cream. And, like, I botched my first attempt at it a few nights ago. And I went to bed just crushed about it, right? Because there was so much anticipation and excitement leading up to that moment. Okay, I'm finally in the kitchen and I'm doing this thing. And I botched it really bad, but I know what I did wrong. And now I'm so excited to get back in there. And I'm so excited to develop and create this beautifully nourishing, you know, product to help people get deep rest and, you know, really, like, help to support their nervous systems. And, you know, rest is a virtue, you know, and so many people are missing the connection to that innate need that they have, right? So, like, this is where I want to operate from. So I don't care where I end up in 3 to 5 years from now and what it looks like, as long as I am, like, wholeheartedly in whatever it is that I'm doing. And I'm able to do it in a soft and loving and connected way, like, really, like, grounded deep down into my heart.
Beautiful.
And I know that, I know it'll be beautiful, whatever that is.
That's the future that I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. So every single one of these episodes I'm going to do is always going to include some sort of form of a challenge.
Ooh.
As a love gangster, you got to go out there and make a difference. And so the first week with Corey... It was buy a drink, a coffee, food, something for the person in line that's behind you.
Uh-huh.
Last week with Jordan, his thing was to go give some clothes to somebody.
Okay.
Right, so everybody's got some sort of thing they want to do. I was originally going to be the one that was going to give the challenge to people, but I think it's a better fit to have the guests, and especially this beautiful guest of honor here, to come up with what that challenge is. What if you were, because you walk this out every day. So what is one thing that somebody could do that you would challenge them to do today to go out there and be a love gangster and go a love on somebody?
Yeah. This is going to sound ridiculously simple, but this is something I have been doing for a lot of years, since before you came into my life even. It's a personal challenge that I have for myself, and I've, like, committed to doing this every single week for probably the last 10 years. And it was out of my woundedness and my loneliness and my own need for love and community in my life that I started doing this for myself. I don't know that I've ever even told you that this is what I do, but it's, like, my little personal love gangster theme in my life. I've been doing a lot of years. I pick up the phone and I call somebody I haven't talked to.
Ooh.
And it's so simple.
Wow.
But it is, I mean, I can say it has, like, so richly blessed me. And it also blesses the people that I call to, and they tell me all the time, you don't know how much it means to me that you call me Whitney.
Wow.
Like people telling me it has changed their life. It has like taught them how to love, how to receive love. Mm. You know, and it's like so awkward for some people sometimes.
Yeah.
Some people like literally pick up the phone and they think something must be wrong because I'm calling them. Mm. And I'm like, they're like, hey girl, is everything okay? Yeah, why? Well, I don't know. It's just that, you know, you were calling me.
So people feel seen, right? When something like that.
We want people to feel seen.
Yeah, that's powerful. And that costs you $0 to do. So that's your challenge. Pick up the phone and call somebody that you haven't talked to in a while and just let them know that you care about them. Let them know that you love them.
No strings attached. Just call them and ask them how they're doing. I was thinking about you. How are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, pick up where you last left off.
That's right.
How did this thing turn out?
Yep.
You know, and like obviously like frame it with like, do you have a few minutes to chat?
That's
you
right.
know,
exactly.
Right? Because, you know, some people might be in the middle of something, but like just make sure that even if you don't get to have like that connection at like a call right at the first go when they're like, actually, I'm busy right now. Like just make sure you let them know I was thinking about you. I wanted to call you. It speaks so much, so many volumes for people.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, how about that for an episode with her? I told you it was going to be amazing. So this is the third episode of The Love Gangster. I'm so grateful that all of you tuned in. You know what your challenge is. For those of you that do it, I want to hear about it. Who did you call? Did you call your mom, your friend, your cousin? Put it down in the comments of this video or the podcast, whatever you're listening to, and let us know. We actually want to hear from you. This is not just a podcast or a show. This is a community. We're building a community of love gangsters. We want to all go out and start serving and making the world a better place. And so I appreciate all of you guys tuning in on this episode with us. I think it might be a little bit longer than a normal one, but it's packed with so much value and so much love. So thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you guys on the next one. I'm Adrian.
Oh, and as always,
keep looking up.